Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members, MMC, TJ, colleagues. My name is Luiso Mkwa. I'm the Chief Director of Environment, Health and Development of Agriculture and Environment.
Good morning to the Chair and members, MMC, colleagues. My name is Lisa Mabilisa. I'm the Head of Department for Environmental Resources and Waste Management in the City of Ekurhuleni.
Good morning, Chair, the members, trustees, colleagues. My name is Kuma Mochinde, I'm the Deputy for Natural Management Services in the Health Department of Agriculture.
You want to introduce yourself? Okay. Can we then, who's going to be taking us through?
Yes.
Chair Director.
Thank you, Chair. I'll take guidance from your staff as a chair in terms of the content and the speed at which this presentation is made. To indicate, Chair, it's a joint presentation. Both from the city as well as from the province. The purpose is to brief the committee and address the matters that have been raised through the petition, to also then inform the committee members on operational aspects that pertain to the matters that have been raised through the petition, as well as then to share with the committee as well on a proposed solution and intervention going forward. Chair, I think maybe I can pass this slide. It speaks to the legal mandate, specifically in terms of the legal framework, the legislation that pertains to waste management, both from the Constitution to the National Environmental Management Act, to the National Environmental Management Waste Act of 2009, and then as well as the city government framework in terms of bylaws, policies, and programs that pertain to the function of waste management both in the city as well as in the province. Just to underscore the matter that within the city as well as within the province, we view waste management within a sustainable natural resources framework, and therefore we understand it's not just a challenge of superfluous material, but there are opportunities around its effective management. In terms of the background, Chair, we indicate that the city has got a workforce of 1,198 that perform the waste management function at a variety of levels. It's got the requisite infrastructure capacity to undertake that function. The function within the city is undertaken on a weekly basis, providing round collected refuse service to 694,063 registered properties, of which 60% of that function is outsourced and 40% delivered by the city. We can also indicate, Chair and Honourable Members, that the city operates a landfill site, and we have mentioned each of them in terms of the landfill site. I can also say, Chair, that within the province of Gauteng, the work that's done by the province is to monitor the landfill sites in terms of their current operation, as well as the landfill space, and the city is the best performing of the 12 municipalities in Southend, if we look at the include the local municipalities, both in terms of the management of the landfill site as well as the provision of the waste collection service. And it's also the city that got the most landfill space currently in Southend. But also within the framework of sustainable natural resource management, as I indicated, there is a desire to engage in upstream management of waste rather than downstream. So we try and reduce the amount of waste that's being landfilled, not just in the city, but within the province, which is what the province is driving. To this regard, there are 31 mini and waste disposal facilities, and that sort of also drives this agenda. I can also say, Chair, not in this presentation, the city, within the city, there are 53 waste management cooperatives that are registered within the GTI that we support both the city and the province with training, with plants and equipment, whether those are wheelers, crushers and trucks. So in terms of the waste management function, we are much more interested into the upstream management of the function rather than the downstream management of the function. We note the measures that are raised in terms of the petition, that the complaint is that the service rendered is not reliable and often is out of schedule. And that in the period reported, which is 5 months, this challenge occurred consistently, which is similar from the other companies as well. To respond to that, the city as well as the province can confirm that refuse collection is done in terms of a fixed calendar schedule that shows which areas are serviced on what day of the week, and this is communicated to the residents. It's also shared, that information is shared to the city's customer care center as follows. If we were then to specifically address the two areas, in Ward 25, the collection service is provided on Friday every week. There has been a backlog, but it's been addressed in terms of the Ward 25. And in Ward 104, the schedule for the collection is per day every week. Again, there was a backlog which has been addressed. Chair, we can get into the detail of the problem statement from the city, so that I think it gives context to not just the complaint, but also to then say there is indeed when you perform the waste management service in the very expanse area, which is the size of the city, but also the most industrialized area within Gauteng, you're going to have the kind of challenges that are anticipated in the slide. But in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through each and every matter that is raised there, as well as the following slide. But we can indicate that the city provides the waste bins, the 240 liter waste bins, and it is expected that the residents make use of that facility, and once it's full, then we have to put it outside indeed for the waste collection truck to pick it up. If you don't put it outside, then the service doesn't mean that the municipality must come inside your house or the property. You've got to put it outside on the collection it's important that we emphasize that and that we can show progress in terms of the pathway. What then are the interventions that have been put in place? There's been measures to repair the waste management fleet and increase its availability to over 90% at all times, so that the backlog that I spoke to in the two problem areas as well as other areas is attended to. Installation, activation and training of depot managers on the tracking, because it's also important that there is a sense of monitoring of the actual service that's being performed on the ground. And for these people, the vehicles are fitted with tracking monitoring devices. To also establish, there are control rooms that have been established at each depot for live reporting of breakdowns or any other issues that may impede the service delivery plans for that week or for that area. Procuring specialized vehicles to be used as and when required for the purposes of facilitating business continuity during breakdowns and emergency situations. In addition, the city is investigating a vehicle procurement model with a reduced burden on the capital budget, and one which responds quicker to repair and maintenance needs. I think the chair and honourable members will appreciate that given the size and the scale of the operation, there is a reasonable and expected breakdown both of fleet and maintenance, and the city is therefore investigating this model to then deal with that challenge as and when it arises, the future and it arises. In addition, there is a matter of the application of consequence management within the city, as and when matters there is a deviation from the scheduled program, and when that scheduling is not caused by non-availability of resources and infrastructure. But what is also important is that this matter of littering. We know that the president recently launched the good green deal to address this challenge, which is not just in the city but across our country, but acutely in Gauteng, the challenge of littering and dumping, illegal dumping, which happens, and therefore the city is employing its resources through the its own metropolis to enforce the bylaws. And also the city is increasing interventions around environmental awareness programs. I think this also aligns again with the president's call around awareness and committing good creative in terms of environmental awareness. We can therefore conclude, Chair, that whilst the matters have been raised by the company, the city has got an extensive and detailed waste management service and program that is capacitated and resourced. We can also say from the monitoring, the province undertakes a monitoring of the cleanliness of all its areas in terms of the Gauteng Waste Collection Standards of 2010, and we can confirm that the city has recently completed an organizational review process and has undertaken to capacitate critical positions within the city related to this function. And this work is being done to build the requisite general and management capacity needed to deliver on these services and to eradicate the plague. But also that it is important that the residents need to understand the street. They need to keep the beams and make them available on the base on which the infrastructure is there to connect and pick them up, and that no base will be collected together with the 240 liter beams, because they should have high beam filters and are not suited in following the waste. In plastic bags. This is a matter, Chair and Honourable Members, that we would like to bring to the attention. That often residents will not make use of the 250 liter bins, that they would rather provide and put waste in plastic bags. And if you look at the kind of infrastructure that is available for this service, the compactor truck has got a mechanism that is released and get disposed of the waste into the compactor. And whereas if you put the waste in plastic bags, then it means you need a tipper truck rather than a compactor truck. So that in itself then causes disruption of the service if the residents are not cooperating in terms of the refugee infrastructure provided by the city. However, to address this matter, the city has been holding public meetings with affected communities to explain the cause of the backlog and to present the solutions that has just been shared with this committee or chair. It is during these meetings that the emphasis is made on residents to keep all waste within the being provided by the city. The issue of where the city has noted the few occasions of not adhering to the schedule is noted and will be monitored closely to ensure that there is no reoccurrence. There are few instances indeed where there's been disruption to, amongst other things, the vehicle breakdown. But even under those challenges, normal and required standard of collection of which once a week will be adhered to at all times. And as such, it's important that we emphasize that again, that within Gauteng, the Gauteng Waste Collection Standard promulgated in 2010, and the province monitors all municipalities in terms of adherence to that standard. But not only just on the collection, but also on the diversion of waste. What are the kind of measures the cities and the municipalities put in place to divert waste from the fields? Because it can be appreciated that the has not had a lot of length of cities. I will end with the chair.
Thank you very much, Chair.
What are the
questions?
Is there anything that the city can do then when out that way, because the pictures that we saw as a committee, we saw the bird, but we also saw the bag, you know, the light. And then you mentioned the intervention. Do you have a specific timeline for that? Could you just maybe elaborate on that?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. If the Chair allows, I'll then ask the AGD to give you two questions, and then the AGD is going to be taking the question around the 250-litre and the timeline. I will answer the first question as well as the second question, Honourable Member Tsonka. Indeed, it's a fact. If one monitors the current licenses that have been issued, in Gauteng, in terms of the airspace available, but also the current landfilling rate in terms of the what we call it GU, Gauteng Waste Information System, which is a monthly report on what is the waste that's being collected and transported and diverted, not just also landfilled, because from the system you also want to know what is being diverted. Yes, we do have a landfill space problem, a space problem, but the city is bigger. I think it's the obvious Johannesburg is the one with the most acute space problem. In this regard, therefore, you were asking about the alternatives. The issue of source separation, one of them, is a matter that we are driving a lot. There are various reasons why we want to drive that, because first and foremost, there is a lot of recycled waste that's not being recycled in South Africa. If we could actually divert all of that from landfills, you already reducing your transport costs, you're reducing your operating costs, but you're also reducing your landfill costs. But what is important, you're also reducing the cost to the environment, which is the cost of both surface and water contamination. So it's important that we therefore work with the local authorities in Gauteng to then promote soft separation. It's also useful for the recyclers, because if they can then find the waste as soon as possible, look at, for example, your packaging waste, once you mess it up with food waste, the value that they actually you fetch as a tonnage of that is actually much, much reduced. So source separation is a method that we are driving. Also then, another member, we're driving together with the city program around recycling. That's why I could with certainty indicate that the city of the building has got about 53 registered waste management cooperatives. And below that, then, there's a term often people use as authentic terrorism. The terrorism actually you try, you're a hustler. So we call them abomachereza, which is like your individual or the cycle, you know? And we then doing a program around empowering them. But importantly, how do we then bring them into the mainstream waste economy? And often we then support them with training, provision of recycling infrastructure like your crushers, your balers, and the co-ops, we also assist them with you know, your industrial scale, but also your just basic PPE and awareness and information around the value of waste as well as the opportunities within the waste economy. And then this one, I think the other one I will refer to the HOD, just to speak about the bin and the bag. There's a study that was done in the city of Johannesburg that indicated that it cost the city of Johannesburg seven times to deal with illegal junk. So if you were to then factor in a unit cost of your proper management of the kind of waste, which is like collecting from the household, from the curb side, transporting it and landfilling. When it's now illegal dumps, it costs 6 to 7 times. The challenge often, indeed, when you're promoting separation, you're going to have bags. But But in separation, then it's within a program. You then say, I'm collecting the bags on these times. But if the bags are not as a part of the pattern, then the cost just increases almost to sevenfold because you are operating outside of your infrastructure. But I think it's understandable when you then say, when there's no connection, what then you have to must do. Okay. I think, Chair, if you will, I will ask the HOD to speak to the timeline, but maybe also to comment on the matter. Thanks, Chair. I think at a huge scale, what you are doing, you then say to households, first and foremost, separate your waste into various of streams. Okay. And I'll pick up the easy one. Okay. So, now, thank you, Chair. Here we take credit because it's not done by the province, but it's done by the services within the province. So what will happen, and I can cite areas in Finch, one of the suburbs in Finch, one of them, where then they give you a clear plastic bag and say, here, put in paper. When the truck comes, you don't put out your clear bag on that stage. So the truck comes and picks up your normal black 250-liter bin, and then it goes. Then you will then find there is a service provider, whether it's owned by the city or it's an independent service provider, who then comes and picks up the other streams on separate chains. That has been the practical experience. Yes, they are suburbs, and I'm saying intentionally change because I know it's not the entirety of a municipality. I don't know if there's a municipality that does everywhere, but I'm also certain that even in Negrolim there are areas where such. I think it's done at a pilot stage at this stage, but it's not yet rolled out entirely in each and every municipality. I can confirm that. Sure.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honourable Member. I am going to respond to the question of backlog. I'm happy to say that all the waste backlog in the tours and the rest of the area of Kenton Park has been cleared to the extent that we are receiving the letters from both residents and from councillors. On the bag that is sitting outside of the bin, communication is key. An odd bag will be there if a resident has accumulated more waste that particular week. So it's important that through the councillor or via the depot, the resident then gives us a call and say, you know what, guys, I have an additional bin, please note this address, don't leave the bag uncollected. But if we discover that consistently, there are bags that are sitting next to the bin, then we will encourage the residents to take an additional bin. It's not an ideal situation because we're trying to reduce waste, as my colleague has said. So eventually, with the agenda that we are driving to reduce waste, we expect that people will have more bins and more bags. That is a lesser generation of waste. Thank you.
I think that
Subjected to the intergovernmental coordination.
administration. We got unprecedented number of comments that came. The process is such that we have to attend to each and every input that comes from wherever it comes from, and provide a rationale as to why are we agreeing or disagreeing. We went through that, and some of the comments that we received were legal in nature. We received and requested for legal interpretation and assistance, which we got. As we speak now, the document has been finalized, subjected to the first stage of the intergovernmental process of working group, through our grouping. We still have to take it through meeting agreement before we subject it to the cabinet process. That's where we are now, with the finalized document awaiting that the process. So that's the status quo. The second one is on slide 45. It talks to the regional risk assessments associated with the biosafety method and the use of GMOs, not only looking at the environmental aspect, but also looking at the genetically modified organisms. So we have volunteers to the CBDA, the Convention on Biological Diversity, that will host the annual forum training on methods associated with risk assessment, associated with genetically modified organisms, and the implications to agriculture, to trade, to science, use to health and the environment. The three countries can be really at the end of October, that's what the country was in the country. Unfortunately, CBD was not raised as a secretary at the time, and they could only have to postpone it, and they postponed it to the 8th of April, which takes us out of the financial aid, but everything else in terms of the arrangement, the agenda, the program, the speakers, everything is done. That's the second point. The third one is on 346, that talks to MET. This matter is not yet finalized by quarter three. We were still waiting on the analysis. The indicative figure of the management effectiveness tracking all the prioritized or sampled protected areas, national parks and provincial parks, led us to a number 57 when we were looking at the baseline or a target of 77% of areas that would be above in terms of the score of 67%. So we have done all of the analysis of that. There was one area that is still outstanding to be dealt with in Kruger National Park. On the course, the analysis was done, but the interpretation has so many issues that needed to be clarified. So there's an interface between the DA and SANPARKS to resolve that, and we're hoping that the final additional audit that is planned for next week will give us the final score that is going to be subjected to audit. At quarter three, that's where it was, and we hope that things will change, but everything else is left to interpretation and final order. The next one is on slide 49 in BioPartner. BioPartner is Bioproduct Advancement Network in South Africa. We've made substantial progress. With DFT, DTI, and DOD together, the institutional framework has since been agreed upon. We have teams that have already been set to lead different clusters, the financing cluster, the mass cultivation and sustainable supply cluster, the policy and legislation cluster. All these issues have been done. We needed to deal with three initiatives. One, the awareness of this program and what it means, and the implications which has been done. The biopartner model being looked at, re-looked at, that has been agreed, and there's consensus on all of them. We faltered on one aspect, that is the market intelligence. We needed to get an external person. Everything else in terms of preparations has been done now, agreed on the terms of reference across the board. One aspect left is to get that process going of doing the market intelligence in the manner that we wanted to.
There were lots of areas that needed interface across the board and a lot of changes that needed to be made, which we didn't anticipate when we started the process. So that is the only part that we are working on, the deadline stage now. The last one on the same slide 49 deals with the charter aspect. The annual target needed us to run the stakeholder engagement. We dealt with that and we found that the matter is more complex than we originally thought, but the input that we received from the stakeholders helped us not to focus on, not downsize, but to have a focused approach, focusing specifically on the wildlife part of the biodiversity economy instead of focusing on the broader aspects and all the advices that we got legally and otherwise points to that. And the concept to the framing of this issue and what it means has already been done and completed. We are confident that the stakeholder consultation to form the basis of the framing, the parameters of what this sector transformation charter focus will be has been done. So we still need to take it further on the basis of what we found from the stakeholder engagement that we intended to do from the beginning. So those are the four areas that that needed to be qualified further.
Okay, thank you.
Can
you move next to number
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll quickly run through the areas that are red and areas that are amber in Program 1. The first area is around external, on slide 3, on external audit opinion. This talks to the 2017-18 audit, which I think we have dealt with, where the department had an adverse external audit opinion from ACSA. The intention had been to then look at interim audits, which normally get finalized around December, but in this case those have not been done because we have not changed the status. But this does not mean we do not have a turnaround strategy and measures to look at how we comply with woodline test standards in line with ACSA. So the turnaround strategy is already under implementation, but what is now still outstanding is evaluation and testing by ACSA, which is why the data still remains there. This has an effect on our expenditure rate because we needed to then restate a financial statement for 2017-18 to comply with modified test standards, and it meant we also needed to change in terms of our operations and some of the payments that we made, and we then held back on some of the projects, and I think Dr. Preston will talk a bit to that and the impact it has had also on implementation of the project. The other area which we have not fully met the target on is on slide 5, which is around vacancy rate. We did indicate that there were challenges with our compensation budget and the cuts that were imposed on compensation budget. This had an effect on the vacancies that we then had as a department because we then needed to go back on filling some of the posts that we had and look at what posts, how we prioritize, and in some cases what posts can we do without any realigned functions so that the work still continues, but this has an impact on the vacancy. The next areas that are amber are on slide 6. The first one is on equity targets, and this is on women in SMS. I think this is women in senior management services. This is an area which I think consistently we indicated that we had challenges on. It became also when you can't grow vacancies, then it meant it will change in the status quo there. The other area which we then have problems, we've had problems on, has been on number of days taken to resolve disciplinary cases. We've taken longer, and I'll give examples of what some of the challenges that we've had were. We found that in most of the cases that we had, we needed forensic investigation, and these tend to take longer. And there were then extensions that were requested even by the investigators. In some instances, circumstances as they were doing the investigations, there were new findings that emerged. Needed to go back and also relook at the process. There were also instances where we needed to get orders to get bank records of people to their families. So these are some of the issues that delayed some of the disciplinary cases that we had, and there were also postponements. We've had also change in flight status. We also were not meeting targets in terms of average days to resolve grievances. The average number of days is normally 30 days and we're at 35 days. The cases that we've had there were rare cases where we were dealing with OSD, which is occupational specific dispensation cases, where we needed also to get involvement of CPSA in resolving some of those cases, and we required legal also opinions on those. So there were a few delays in terms of finalizing those cases. I'm now moving to slide number 9, where there is also an area where we did not meet the target. This is on a number of young people that are on environmental leadership programs. The intake that we had for 2017-18, the calculation for that was in August 2018. So we had recruited 100 learners. Out of those 100 learners, 3 dropped out of the program, and the 3 that dropped out of the program had secured permanent employment elsewhere. So we checked why they then dropped out, and so there were people that had secured employment. The plan was then to then have an intake again in the third quarter. And this was not done. Normally the funding for the learnership, we get them through the local government visa. That funding didn't come through, so we did not recruit learners. However, we then looked at a program that we call the Work Integrated Program, where we still recruited 100 students. So these are students that require exposure in the work environment, 6 months exposure in the work environment to complete their qualifications. So we approached Cape Peninsula, Tshwane University of Technology, and Univen to get this learners that needed to be placed. We placed some of them in local municipalities, in Bembe, for instance. From Univen, we placed them. Some were placed within VIA for that 6 month period. And we also then had an engagement with an NGO in Johannesburg called EcoCulture, where we placed some of these students. So I think the point I'm trying to make is, even without the funding and the full learnership not being implemented, we still looked at how we then get learners into the program. I'm moving on to the slide 10, which deals with the last area that was not achieved in program 1. And this is around implementation of a local government support strategy. There were a total of 16 activities that we intended to do. We fell short on an activity around integrated waste management plan for municipalities. So we support municipalities in ensuring that they do have environmental management tools. In some cases, it's around getting service providers to help them develop these tools. So there were 4 integrated waste management plans that were completed outside the quota. So it's not that they were not done, but they were done outside quota 3. So if you look at the overall performance for the year, then it would have been achieved because we finalized them in quota 4. That is all the areas that we did not meet target for.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair, morning, Honourable Members. So I'll take you through the quarter 3 performance report for Ocean and Coast, again, touching on the yellow and red. So moving down to the integrated Antarctic strategy, this is in yellow because we were required to make further refinements following consultation with a number of different departments, in particular Department of Science and Technology, Department of Transport and others. The revised version went to a stakeholder engagement workshop in November and was presented at the ICCS DG cluster last week. We are therefore making progress, but we are behind In terms of the sub-regional management plan, there we have a grid. And Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you'll recall that the Marine Spatial Planning Bill has gone through Parliament, and it sets out the process to be followed for the sub-regional planning process. The challenge in this instance, our target was to develop the sub-regional management plan for the southeast area, which is in the Agulhas region. The challenge was that we were not receiving data from all the departments. What this process requires is data layers from a number of different departments, including the Department of Mineral Resources, CASA, Department of Transport, the Heritage Agency, Department of Tourism. So it took a long time for departments to pull together the data that was needed to do the actual spatial planning nationally. We are now at the stage where we have all of the different data layers other than that for mining, and we've managed to compile following from all of that data a national data report, which basically says from a national perspective who is doing what and where in our ocean space. As soon as we receive the data on mining, we will then be able to gazette the national data report for comment. What in the meantime we are doing while we are waiting for that final outstanding data is gazetting the methodology and the approach and how we are approaching this national process of consolidating the plan, and from the national basis we will move on to the sub-regional plan. So we are behind, but essentially it has required a slightly different approach, and I think this is one of those cases where you go into a process not very well knowing what is required in order to achieve the product. Our last area of yellow is on the seasonal water quality reports for Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northern Cape and Western Cape. In this case, we have had challenges, logistical challenges, in obtaining the necessary data. We've received the data for all areas in the Western Cape, but have had logistical challenges for receiving data from Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and Northern Cape. We anticipate being able to solve that by the end of the financial year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, DG and colleagues. Programme 4 deals with climate change and air quality management in terms of performance for the quarter under reporting, which is quarter 3. We only have one red area. Unfortunately, it's a critical one. If we look at slide number 36, that red area relates to the climate change bill. The target for the quarter was to have the comments incorporated into the draft climate change bill and bill submitted to Parliament. We're reporting today that the bill was not submitted to Parliament with a very clear directive to take the bill through further consultation processes. And to this end, what we have done was to engage with NEDLAC. NEDLAC already established a task team. That task team had held its first meeting on the 8th of March to start engaging on various aspects of the bill. Honourable Chairperson, the process entails going line by line on the bill. On the 8th of March, we know that the task team dealt with the definitions of the Act and already started to go into the object of the act. It is expected that that process will take between 3 and 6 months for NEDLAC to finalize their report. We have assurance that they will try their level best to have that process completed in 3 months. The rest of the performance areas that are yellow, on the same slide, we have the National Climate Change Adaptation Strategy. The intention was to have that at consultation phase, and we're reporting that the consultation has happened on the 6th to 7th November. The next yellow area is on slide 39. This relates to the number of sector adaptation plans finalized and implemented. Our focus for this quarter was to set up an institutional mechanism by way of a technical task team that would be working on disaster risk reduction and planning. In terms of progress, we've conducted workshops already aimed at establishing the terms of reference and assessment criteria for the task team, and this was done also on the 6th of November. We're working in partnership with GTZ in this regard, and they have the German cooperation. They have made commitments to provide, to assist DIA with the service provider to run this work. The challenge, Honorable Chair, was that they could not find a suitable service provider to do the assessment, which led to the delay in the appointment of said provider. We have since received commitment from GIZ that they will explore other procurement options to appoint a service provider. The next AMBER performance area is on slide 40. Number of air quality monitoring stations reporting to SACIUS. For the quarter, what we have done was to develop a draft data sharing agreement with AXA, the airport company of South Africa, for consideration, and the intention is to have that access station included in the NAWI station project, which will then be reporting to SACIUS. We have reported to this August committee previously the excellent performance in terms of increasing number of stations that are reporting under SACIUS. The next area, and the last, AMBER, is on slide 41. This relates to the number of air quality management plans under implementation. Our target was to have all planned AQNPs, activities implemented, and quarterly progress report compiled. To date, we have those implementation reports compiled. There are some few challenges regarding to the source apportionment and MSRG facilitation projects in the high priority areas. There are delays there. Corrective measures that were put in place was to ensure that the tender is advertised in quarter four and the project participation is initiated by the end of that quarter. We are sure of meeting this target by end of the quarter. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, DJ, Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, DJ and colleagues. We have 16 indicators, 9 of them are yellow, 5 are green and 2 are red. And all of the ones that are not green, the overriding factor is that we had to adopt our schedule as a result of modified cash standards and change our contracts from transfers to goods and services. This has meant in most cases that we've changed contracts during this year on 4 occasions with the people with whom we work, with service providers, and that has been extremely disruptive. The number of full-time equivalents, we are cumulatively at 64%. We will not be green for this figure for the year, although the fourth quarter will certainly improve it. In terms of the number of work opportunities, we have 94% cumulatively, and we will be green for that measure. All of these factors, as I've said, have been impacted by the number of changes to contracts. The accredited person days has been a particularly problematic one for us, 37.4%. Currently, we will not be green. The number of SMMEs used, we are at 79% cumulative, and we should get up to green or very close to being green for the year. The number of wetlands is only at 59 at the moment, but all of the contracts are being put in place or have been put in place, and we are expecting or hoping that we'll be able to be green. The two reds are particularly problematic for us. Those are the number of initial hectares of invasive plants that have been cleared. We are currently sitting at 34% cumulative, and we will not be certainly not green, and we're hoping that we'll be yellow. And the follow-up work cumulatively 44%, we should be yellow, but that's not a very good performance for a program such as ours. We have a history of the past 24 years of spending 92% of our budget in the year, which it's given to us this year. We are currently at 56%. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair, and honourable members, DG colleagues. We started to present the static news. Just to let the honourable members know that the Minamata Convention, the request for notification, was passed by the CMNCOP last week and on its way through DERCO to the Secretariat of the Minamata Convention for ratification before June, which is the deadline, and hopefully we'll make it for the conference of the parties to be held in November. So that's good news, and thanks to the committee for processing that. I'm also told that Kigali was passed this morning by the Select Committee and is going through to NCOP this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So hopefully Kigali will make it through as well. Thank you. So, Chair, Select. Chair, just in terms of the performance of Q3, we had one yellow relating to the register for industrial chemicals. There were two targets there, one is the draft report from the industrial chemicals register, the other one was the stakeholder consultation. We did meet the target for the report, and that has been done and developed. The issue around consultations, which was related to the lack of information and data coming from industry on time, it then meant that we had to publish a gazette requiring for industry to submit the data, and that took some time, but we are on target to meet, on track to meet the target by the end of this month. Moving on, related to the target for waste tire processing, again, the Moving on, Chair, in terms of the number of jobs to be created in the sector related to tires, and these refer directly to the lack of progress with implementing the contracts, and hence those jobs that we had put on there could not be realized in time. The last yellow has to deal with the number of micro collectors and waste pickers benefiting from the recycling program. And here the target of 400 we've met, it's almost more than halfway, three quarter way now, it's 254. There was some delays specifically with the program in Palaboa with an MOU with the municipality where we experienced some delays. And in terms of the ongoing engagements, we're confident that by the end of this quarter we'll be able to address that enough. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, thank you. Get the financial. Their decisions don't proceed.
They have their home team delivery for the transfer payment arrangement form. And now I don't remember all the details, but otherwise, so they can't either have to integrate the fund as part of their fund portfolio, or we have it as a department to then either create an edit or even the kind of enablement to have a loan arrangement, because departments don't do loans in the first place. So in terms of accounting, somehow we will account and we take their documents as they are, but the controls that would go with that is not something that we can easily account for as a department. So we are just waiting for guidance between us and Treasury on exactly how best to improve things. We have prioritized the things that we think are more within our control. On the working on file, we've been discussing with Treasury, even there, there are items that are not yet concluded on how we should account, but at best we will account and show them according to those guidelines in the classification document as the order is outlined. So there are, in terms of reporting, can we say on progress, we are trying to change the accounting approach, but there are challenges in how we do it. Not in all cases we are able to do 100%. And we know that there are areas we are then limiting our exposure by not rather attending the fund as it was also in terms of the tax, the debt, and interest that is paid on projects. All of those funds we intend to return them to Treasury because all the entities are staying under how we expect them to report. So we then say it's easier to return those funds to Treasury.
Looking at the residual of those vehicles, it is after 8 weeks and 7
looking at the system by cost analysis. So we are looking at what is the department structure. That is the for the buyer. And then we are looking at what is the department supposed to pay for maintenance of that fleet. Because the other parameter goes down, which I mentioned, but the other parameter go up with the maintenance of the fleet goes down. So we are analyzing this. It's not low that the system is analysis, but those are the analysis that are still going to go back to the supplier and to explain it to us. But I can give you the same data. 2019-21, this is what the consumers are asking. And then we go get the same data to go with that. So to see, to say now, how much is going to take us with this 208,000? We hope it doesn't take us to the same amount that we've been transferring the month. Next slide. I think I've spoken about this one at lunch. Next slide. And then we also analyze here our public entities and like performance. I think they are doing well. 2 billion their revenue, the expenditure for the last quarter 1.7 billion, and their sectors and some utilities in the sector. So irrespective of the deficit, and we all know that this is attractive because of the aviation revenue that is producing. And what is the ultimate, like their graphical presentation? And you can see, so and we're also looking at how we can do that among us between all the funds that are made, that we can transfer from our quarter to so that to be able to cut.
Okay, thank you very much. That's good hope. So then the third quarter part of the department. I think maybe we must have to take Mangaliso and then discuss Colombia with us. I don't know who's here, who's with us.
CEO is here. CEO is
here.
You can come.
CFO.
We have a champion.
I don't know who else is here.
And the board member.
Okay, we didn't get an approval from the chair.
But you
Oh, you're the chair now?
No.
You're the new chair.
No, no, but he's a board member.
Okay. All right, so we'll get Mangaliso.
Thank you, Chair. And by introduction, the name is Satish Gupta, a non-executive member of the board. Sincere apology from our chairperson, Rinani Swami. Conflict in the diary is difficult for you to attend today's session.
Okay.
Conflict in his diary creates difficulty in him being available today.
Okay.
Chair, this is also a conflict that I bring to the attention.
I'm sorry, Satish. He knows that he was something.
Chairman, I'm accompanied by the CEO and CFO, Sudhisi Subbukusini and Abhira Tati. We're going to be reporting on the third quarter. Chair, if I can just indicate that we may transition first from acting CEO to a substantial appointment of a new CEO. The organization is going through transformation, but is also stabilized under the able leadership of the new CEO. The one area of great concern to the board has always been the community relationships. And we're glad to advise Chair that those relationships are stabilized, but not perfectly where we want them to be. But in time, we will be able to achieve better relationships with the community. Chair, with your permission, I realize you have said you have a tight program. I'll call on the CEO and the CFO to assist with this presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, good morning. I'll be very brief, Chair, my presentation will be mainly in the yellow and the red, as we started up in the previous meeting. I must say, Chair, that we made promises to say a number of targets that were not on point. In quarter one, we indicated they were going to still be limping up to quarter three. However, when we get to quarter four, we made significant progress in terms of achieving them. So if you look at quarter three progress, you will see some shifts in terms of progress that we have made in as far as those programs are concerned, or those targets are concerned. If we go to program one, conservation and park, we have three yellows, and that relates to environmental monitor. We were supposed to have 120. By quarter three, we had advertised and we managed to fill the 120. It's just that at the time of reporting, that could not be reported because it has gone past that period. So it then left us with 117. But the main reason for us not achieving the target was merely after the attainment of the 120 due to the issue of the resignations. Eight positions were filled and appointment of the three monitors will take place when the suitable workplace has been secured, which I am happy to say in quarter four we are in good position to fill those positions. The second one relates to the issue of the number of hectares invasive plants treated. Again, here is yellow, the KPI not met in quarter two, and I think we did indicate the reason thereof. However, the department has subsequently transferred money to us, I think it was in August, and we have accordingly formed as far as the attainment of those targets. If you look again on those targets, you'll see that in quarter three we were supposed to be on 10,000, but we exceeded the target by 13,17, which makes the year to date to be 25,853, a significant progress. But once again, Chair, we just want to assure this portfolio committee that come quarter four, we have achieved the annual target, which is 45. The next one, which is in program one again, is communication strategy. We reported again, Chair, that the challenge that we had there was that we did not have an incumbent, a position
protected areas in across the provinces and national entities. And both in looking at the size of the eight states, which what is the size of the specific areas run by the Western Cape, West Cape Nature, Eastern Cape Passport, and so on, to first arrive at what is a reasonable norm and how do we, especially in light of the fact that most provinces were reporting at the intergovernmental forum in Minmex that they have been suffering from budget cuts, and which inhibits their ability to manage the estate effectively. As you have said, heard from the report, surely we even agreed on this match score system, which is then a technical assessment of how best an estate is managed from a conservation point of view. And that was juxtaposed with also the organizational structure. And the outcomes and the findings were, one, this Mongaliso as a public entity was one of the most important critical ecosystems. And therefore, it confirmed the national status. Of course, it's already international acknowledged facility. However, on management, there was then this question of whether would it, if we have to realign, the question was whether there would be a process of realigning the assumption in the organizational structure. And there was an option to be in CENPAS, or looking at integrating it with provincial parks in terms of management, and that then, in terms of that recommendation, because it's a more political level process, it was then left a process that would either require a minister to then appoint and run the process where then there would be that, what they call, they would have a commission. And that was discussed in the context of the presidential review framework of entities, whether the state can still afford the number of public entities that it has. And in the conservation sector, we did, we undertook that work, but it was not taken further. And it is not up to Mongaliso itself to actually have those engagements. What we did was to say, at a management, functional management point of view, would there be a benefit if CENPAS works closely with members and how would the structure be implemented? What are the lessons from the arrangement that is existing between this Mongaliso and the provincial parks authority? And there are also political issues because the province does not want this Mongaliso to be integrated in the national entity. So that's why I'm just mentioning that it cannot be fully accounted for by this manner of so then by us to be accounted for at least the check. But just to give you an example of what you are undertaking. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Financial reporting.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair and members. The last program is corporate governance. And under corporate governance, we have one issue in terms of the number of business processes that is still a work in progress. We had to engage with the CETA with regards to the procurement of these financial, these business system improvements. And we had difficulties with them with regards to actually meeting with them and them to come on board. We have subsequently written to National Treasury informing them of our difficulties. National Treasury suggested that we just get the list of the service providers that have been appointed for such a system and we can then be given the go-ahead to make the to procure the goods from these service providers instead of going through the procurement process. This is currently being done in the fourth quarter. With regards to the summary of the financial results, in kind exceeds the budget by 6.4 million and connected by CFO of GM for the period April to December 2018. This difference is due to differences in the bills and preparation of the budget. As you all are aware, modified cash basis is required by the PMA and the financial statements graph in terms of graph number 23. The income also exceeds the budget in between the 2017 and the 2018 period to date at the end of the last quarter, December 2017 and 2019. The main issue there was the increase in the project or the decrease in the project net profit and loss, which was the result of the volume of infrastructure that had taken place in the 2017-18 financial year. Sundry income increased as a result of funds that have been reallocated from community levies to sundry income for the bursary program, with expenditures reflected under training. Fees related to admin and management received is below budget as a result of the delays in the funding for land rehabilitation projects, and this will even itself out by the end of the financial year. Park revenue also increased due to average annual accommodation concession fees that way exceeded our expectations. The expenditures below budget by 5 million, the repairs and maintenance costs increased as a result of fence maintenance on the new fences and way later in the park, a maintenance plan to be included in the infrastructure allocation from the department. Personnel costs are below budget as a result of the finalization of the new structure and approval of appointments and critical posts to be filled. Most of these critical posts have been advertised and appointments have been made in the fourth quarter. Depreciation is below budget due to delay in the award of final completion certificates as a result of the snags that have been completed and additional work that was requested. This includes the gate entrances, the Sugarloaf bus turning circle, the walkways, and the meet and greet. Professional and technical fees are below budget. This is cost containment savings due to staff taking over some of the responsibilities. Accounting revenue for the period ended December is 94.8 million. This is the non-cash revenue and is a result of the accounting policies related to grants. In other words, 44.9 million has been recognized into income in respect of capital expenditure. The reciprocal expense reflects in the balance sheet under the basics. Thank you.
Yeah.
offend anybody, but I just think certainly on those number of weekends, I believe the text might be a bit optimistic. As well as the number of SMME, these are high targets, so maybe we just get some detail on that. As well as the invasive hectares. But so that leads to a disappointing target, at least the performance of 56%. But coming back to the number of hectares, my experience is that rather than to have high targets and try and chase the hectares, it's rather to do less hectares and do it properly, rather than a half job on lots of hectares. Under the finance, I think that the travel and subsistence jumps out at you when you're going from, you're nearly doubling it in a quarter of an hour. I think we need the committee an explanation, a detailed analysis of that. That is certainly excessive. Also, I didn't quite understand the bailing out of South African Weather Service is 44 million. I'm not quite sure if I understood where that was coming from. If we just get clarity on how that is going to be covered. The word bailout was mentioned, but I'm not sure where that is going to be coming from. My comment on the invasive plants also refers to the invading of plants treated refer. It also applies to the Simanga Visa targets. Now that's a lot of hectares, 45,000. It's a huge target.
And we saw a number of trees, 1,000 trees.
have to understand the nature of interaction between yourself and the commission. What sort of support you have been given to and received. Thank you. Implementing this current court of appeal decision.
Prabhupada is well, Mr. Prabhupada is declared as a Varaha in Swaraj. It is not quite a national state. It's managed by a national entity called Mr. Prabhupada. What I want
thank you very much, Chair, honorable members, for the question. I will start with Pam and then refer the others to the colleagues. Firstly, on the honorable member's question on the climate change bill, because the bill was not yet introduced to Parliament, it will not last. So in terms of the setting of time, I mean two things, the document has already gone to cabinet before and now we're coming back after the public participation process and it went through the clusters and NEDLAC made the appeal that they want to engage with the bill based on all the legal issues and some of the issues raised by the business sector. Remember, in Netflix, you have the business, you labor, and you have community. So those two main stakeholders raised issues, and they then wanted
subject in meditation or holiness or anything, then you abide by their
process.
We had this rate also in the context of the common text being transformed. So at least the common text being, I was with the colleagues from Treasury, has gone through the NCOP and is being finalized this week, if we are lucky. So once, if the projected time frame that we are given is less than 3 months, therefore it will then, as soon as then the new administration is in place, we can process it and choose citizens to come. And as far as I know, in the draft medium term strategic framework, it is part still, remember in the National Development Plan, we have a chapter that refers to low carbon growth. So in that context, it is not likely to be delayed, unless again, politically I have no control if it is delayed, but in terms of the plan, it should not be delayed. Just as a response. I think Dr. Preston was dealing with the Honorable Patton's questions. Then coming to the Simangaliso question, I think I would leave the one around the economics and whether the province is supporting, but just deal with the chair's last comment. World Heritage Sites, Chairperson, Honorable Members, can be managed by provinces and it's legal in our legal instruments. The Table of Humankind is managed by Gauteng and in Simangaliso there's an intergovernmental agreement. And this new World Heritage Site in Manana, the Kondwayo, it's Kondwayo area, which is Bushbuck Village area. The province wants to be, the provincial entity wants to be appointed as the management authority. So legally it's allowed, and I guess there is also a political process that's allowed, unless we change that framework. For now, I think we need to still work within the legal provisions and then deal with those deficiencies around what makes it to be ineffective until we have a changed dispensation. Then my other attempt to respond to the chair, and I think we can provide more details. What on the Green Fund, the finding of the aging Australians, right now I do not have, the department does not have a written approval by Treasury to even retain the 400 million that the CFO is referring to. So to transfer any other amount until we have that approved is going to be an irregular expenditure on the department. So because of the outline of what we have to do in terms of MCM, we have to attempt one to do the report to say, well, we are not prepared to do ABC thing, this is what they want to do. So they have now opted to only be involved in climate financing. In the past, on the green fund, we're not looking at sustainability in its totality, it's not only climate. So the portfolio varies based on the different interventions. And therefore, in the discussions that I've had, I had a meeting to then discuss and allow them to follow their due process and get written back to us to confirm this is the only case that they will probably satisfy and then integrate the climate response or climate, what they call climate services, in their business processes. The rest, they feel that they will be like, what do you call that, principal agent arrangement. So it has got huge implications around exactly how we are set up for to deal with it as a department. Hence, on the MCF, even when the AG presented the first time, when we have to change, these changes are not going to be one-way. They are over a period, and the mapping that I've seen in some of the areas, they will have an effect over in the interior tenement. So we have to limit the risk as far as possible. And therefore, in the context of a tight fiscal, TRADAC is not going to be approving in any event. But we'll see once they give us the approval. But now we are in the middle of March, and we wrote to them last year already, and I know we have no approval. So the 95 million in that context, I cannot transfer it because I know it will not be used in this financial year. And if it was a transfer payment, because we have a commitment, it would then not invoke and raise the expenditure. Now, because they're not going to sell it, and it's goods and services, when I transfer it, I'm transferring it as if I am dumping it fiscally. So that's why I will not be able to see that it to transfer the funds in this year. But we can give you a full account of it in writing so that you just understand the implications and what informs the fact that we have not programmed it. And then the other part, I think Dr. Preston and the CFO can respond. What we have is a strategy to implement the AG's findings. And yesterday, I spent the whole day with AG. Every day there are changes, there are differences. And I think CFO can highlight some of those. Even yesterday, we are now expected to get some ledgers, T accounts from those entities, which you don't get even if you do a tender process. So the more we try and also implement this, there are other things that are arising, and therefore the system between us and the engineers in some sense that maybe we need to be sure between us whether we are then treating it correctly in this way. And Trevor has got full hands. They don't seem, I mean, the CFO's team have been trying to have a meeting. They've only had a meeting about one aspect, even on working on five. They've not finished all the other items that they have to promote. And then lastly, Chair, I think only one of the register programs, it is definitely, I can't brief the committee on it. I would request that, I think, maybe you can just give the latest update. I've not been involved in the engagement subsequent to the first meeting after the meeting. So Mark can give an update, but in the meeting it's in the control of the minister and the legal counsel. So the update can be provided in terms of what is either causing delays and how are we trying to expedite the process. But that may be if Minister is able to come to the meeting, she will also be able to explain how far she's going with the process. Can I then ask Dr. Mumanya to set your 121 equality monitoring station?
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and DG. I'm responding to the first question posed by Honorable Member Pruden. Regarding the number of air quality stations that are reporting, out of the 125 that are government owned, we have 121 that are reporting, and this is quite a significant achievement. They're reporting on all criteria pollutants, and the information is publicly available through our app, the CIRCUS app, to show the status. But what the progress is presented here is intended to further strengthen or improve on that system by way of having a draft agreement with private providers that are reporting or managed by AXA. If they come on board, then we'll have a comprehensive overview of the state of air in the country. This is one of the great areas of achievement by the Department of Environment Affairs. Just in addition to the climate change bill, in addition to the response by DG I just want members of the committee to note that the Honourable President, in his response to the State of the Nation address, actually made specific reference to the Climate Change Bill and its significance for taking the country forward in dealing with the impacts of climate change. So we are quite hopeful and excited by the level of commitment of government to take this, to have this process finalized. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I think if I may start just with a generic thing around modified cash standards. We are, as the DJ said, we are working to comply with the requirements. We are mostly there, I believe. There might be changes that come and force further changes from us, but we are signing three-year contracts at the moment, or we have signed the vast majority of three-year contracts, and that will give us a great deal of stability going forward. So, as I said earlier, we have a very good record of spending our budgets. We should spend our budgets in the next MTA period. I believe we should achieve our targets in terms of the jobs was mentioned by the Honourable Whip. And from the Chair's question, we will not spend our budget in this year. We are not trying to achieve that, to be honest. That would be fiscal dumping, were we to try to do it. We are doing everything we can to get as many jobs and other outcomes that we that are in our plans, but there's no way at this point that we can do so. But from next year onwards, I believe that we will have a stable program, we will comply with modified cash standards. I think in terms then of the comments that were raised by the Honourable Member Fed, on the Wakelands, first of all, in fact, our previous years that we have met our targets in most years with the Wakelands work. Our target for this year, we are currently at 110. We are targeting, in fact, 165 for next year. I have asked them to focus more on some of the less degraded Wakelands and the reasons for their degradation, and those are easier to do. As well as what we are doing. And I think we will achieve those, Honourable Member. There's no reason for us not to achieve it. It really is a good program, if I may say so. One of the understated programs, but it would be wonderful to take people out again to see the kind of quality of work that's been done in this program. In terms of the SMMEs, it's certainly been a very disappointing year for us this year. Our targets will go down because of the way in which we now contracting with modified cash standards. I think that's a pity, but that's where we are. And we will achieve every SMME that we can. I think that's an imperative of the government that we do try to do so. But we should again reach those targets. If you look at our previous years, we have met our targets with SMEs in the programs. This year has been an anomaly. In terms of the hectares here, I fully agree with your sentiment that it must be done properly, but we've kind of required that of our programs from the beginning. It's a difficult level of work. It's difficult to really finish a hectare and know that you've cleared everything that you should have cleared. We've got a standard that there cannot be more than 5% of invasives on the land when we do our inspections before payment is made. And by and large, when we pay, that has been achieved. In the history, we've got 3.2 million hectares, and what you have is quite a variety of densities. So it's not the greatest indicator. What we call the condensed hectare is a better one. That would be wall-to-wall invasives, how many condensed hectares. haven't achieved these targets is because of this, the problems we have in getting contracts out. Otherwise, we would have. I do want to stress that when you have done the fires that you have in George Neisner and in other areas, you have these things coming up like this in the Bell's Bank, and we're not flexible enough to be able to go in there and do the clearing quickly before what is a tractable problem becomes a big problem. But I think you'll see in the next year a dramatic improvement in terms of where we're going with our value-added industries, with our houses and the toilet blocks, and the utilisation of the biomass. And I hope that we'll have a much better year than we've had this year that we can report to you next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, thanks, Honourable Members. We take the comment on the bill on the jobs matter, and we will follow up on that with the Bureau of Legal, that time will be improved by the end of quarter four. Chair, on the matter of visa, following the... We'll get back to you on the target, on the visa matter, Chair, following the decision of the Supreme Court of Appeal, what's happened is that there have been several meetings between the Minister and the different legal councils since February. In two meetings, there's been three meetings held last week as well. And basically, in terms of the options and the legal implications of the options, all of them are being explored. There was a meeting scheduled for today, but some of the requests, written requests from the visa, was due today, and they were not able to submit today, and we've been assured that by the council they will be submitted by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. So the meeting has been postponed to tomorrow, and they again will be looking at what exactly the visa is requested into the writing, and the detail of that will be discussed, and we will be able to report back in terms of what would be the options going forward on this matter. Thank you.
They always been checking whether they did it in accordance to the aviation authority to look at the way the song is budgeted. And they highlighted that we need to align our budgeting process with the information that comes from the aviation authority. So by saying that they need to say it out, we want to look at how they budget, and it was continuous. It just happened that every year they were getting closer and coming with modified cash standards as to whether we're struggling or whether we're going to be able to comply. We had a meeting with National Treasury. Again, we compared ourselves with other departments the way DG instructed us. National Treasury ultimately said we need a different CFO forum for those people who are implementing EPWP projects, because when you consult with another CFO, just for land, to find that the accounting transactions are not the same. So they've agreed that we need a CFO forum. National Treasury is not implementing. They are talking about accounting economic reporting framework. That is where the problem is. And the auditor is another thing. I'm not auditing you according to the economic reporting framework. I'm auditing you according to modify the case. So the economic reporting framework, we can put a picture anyway. So it was the framework that was determined by the department. So already we told them that there's a disjunction there. The because then that allows the auditor general to come to the citizens or to lies and say, you've accounted like this, I would have preferred you to have accounted like this. So they constantly in like a discussion with the industry to say, this year is a transdiverse problem. Like for the Green Fund, I'm looking at my translations just now. I've got about 6 translations. National Treasury said not people are aging, but you can see the age is going to be my age. So in modified case standards, there's a lot of chapter. You can use the age chapter and that's where we get to people. But you are going back to National Treasury to say, give us this EPWP, CFO forum, so that we can consult and tell you what our problem is. I think we had a meeting about it. So we have for the chair. And I think the GM answered one day, the Green Fund. For travel, we are going to look at the details of what the change is made in Program 1, that is administration, and then Program 2, that is enforcement, and then Program 5, which is biodiversity, and Program 6. And we realize that it is more on domestic travel. So it's easy to just go to our accounting system and download.
Just a chair, sorry. I think on the weather services, there was a meeting with the regulator and the portfolio committee, in which meeting they were explaining their methodology of setting the tariffs or what the name is, the fee that is paid by the aviation industry. In that presentation, which is what they made to the department, but they are awaiting a meeting with the minister because of the changes that were explained to the minister. Clearly, the years of under-collection and over-collection. And the problem is how you link the collection system of the levy to the expenditure and what is prioritized by the entity and the department. If there is a disjuncture in that, then you will continue to then have, when there is under-reporting, then the entity is expected to pay back the money to the aviation sector. So in this current period, the regulator presented and forecasted the amount that is going to be the shortfall for the South African weather services, which has to then be approved back to the industry. And that's what makes that gap between what then is being prioritized now versus them having to have about 60 million or so that they would have to put in that to make sure that they don't collect that amount in terms of the fees in the next financial year. So that is the issue, but I think they can explain it better. We can bring the report. So that you are able to see how many those fees are arrived at. And it may look like there is irregular planning by the entity, only to find that we need to probably revisit how the tariff arrangement is aligned with the prioritization and planning, which at times is not always geared to only service the aviation industry, because we are not collecting levies from the other sectors, even agricultural sectors are benefiting from the aviation services. So that is the bit of information that I can provide, but I can also provide the report that was presented to the department by the agency. Is my question?
Thanks, Chair. One big threat that we pose as the weather authority. If you look at the performance in the previous years, you see that we have already exceeded the target of 5% on that. Even in this financial year, the target is definitely going to be exceeded because we have given both the additional funds to expedite some of the work. So, as we indicated, Chair, that we are really embarking on this. So for us, we even
some of these threatening and these sort of things. The department is not working on this thing. And I don't understand why there's so much to like this. Given the issues that you mentioned from that court litigation, all of the issues, I don't really want to mention very shortly stuff that came out of that. And we're still not able to do nothing. I think it's very concerning. I think it's something that we must express our dissatisfaction. But please, if you are not taking it on appeal, which is the correct thing to do, because they seem like there are no constitutional issues, implement as it is so that you salvage this wasteland program. The depots are up to the brim with the tires throughout the country. It's bad. The depot situation does not even comply with the environmental requirements. If something can happen there in one of the depots, we'll be in big trouble. So it's almost like a situation that we're fitting in once wrong is paying. So really I am asking that please speed up the process, finalize this so that it can then get back into work. The tires can be collected, can be transported properly, it can be recycled, it can then have more than 50% dimension of tires and problems can implement this program. So please let's stop pushing around this thing. Let's make sure that that is implemented. That's our message, DG. Maybe take it to the minister and make sure that
workshop. But the time is unfortunately she was the one that really went for.
Yeah, on the content.
But at least we cannot diminish that. Okay, so plan A is to put one in Durban. Yeah, I think it's, I mean, we would like to use the option of a full coastal city, but I want to plan it. I want the team to be organized in terms of which areas are going to be you've got to do a little bit of
You mean that side?
No, I'm see if you're going to do this, you're going to fly the whole coast.
Yeah.
From here, all the way to want the team that's flying all the way up to be clear about what they're looking for and not just flying. You need to be clear in terms of the GPS and not just check all the way along the coast. So I'm trying to separate that flying on the coast with the system. That's why I'm thinking that the system should be able to focus on something for this break. And then we plan and organize a full cultural assessment space as a separate thing.
But remember,
I don't even want to open my mouth on these things because I don't want to make a mistake.
Remember, it's waste, you know? It's all
okay, so we
end it. Three actions.
So I'll do all actions.
Okay, Chair. Long time ago, I was there.
So in that case, you are forced to provide.
Yeah.
And yet you have control over
it.
Yeah.
Honorable,
thank you so much.
Sure.
Let's try, yeah, let's try. But I'm young.